The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome to my program, Afternoons with Mike, here on The Shepherd. And whether you are listening to us in Gainesville, Ocala, Orlando, anywhere in between, we'd like to say thank you for taking the time to be with us. It's always great to meet people, talk about what's going on in their lives, and to hear their story, to see how God has influenced them, to see how God has captured them, to see the ways that their life is making a difference for the kingdom of God. I've got a young man today in the studio that I've met just today for the very first time. We've talked and we have a lot of mutual connections, and his name is Kyle Heck. And he has an unusual, from my standpoint anyway, an unusual job that I just had never heard that of anybody being a franchise coordinator or a franchise consultant. I didn't know that there were franchise consultants around, but that just goes to show my limited experience in that aspect of life. So first of all, Kyle, welcome to my program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Mike. And yeah, it is news to people that this is something that exists, but the same way you wouldn't want to buy a house without really working with a qualified real estate agent, you wouldn't want to just go buy a franchise business without speaking with somebody who knows all the options that are available.
That is really something that I guess, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think of franchises, number one, I don't know what the percentage is of just the general public to small business owners that have gone into franchises, but I would think it's low. I would think that business owners make up a, I don't know what percentage of the general working population would be, but it is certainly a big deal when someone invests, because typically to go into business, it is a big investment. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't enter that with a pocket change. It takes some doing, especially if it's a bigger company, you know, that can be a major investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe compared to their house, it's one of the top two investments that most people will ever make if they go in that direction.
Well, sometimes I would think that people have invested less in their home than they do mm-hmm. would an investment like a business like this. And the risks are probably much higher at failure than a foreclosure would ever bring on a home investment. But nevertheless, thank God for all the small business people. And boy, you know, one of the things I do want to talk to you to see how COVID has impacted this, mm-hmm. but I would think that 2020 has been a very rough year for small business investment in franchises, I would imagine.
Well, small business in general has obviously had a very rough year, as everybody has, whether you're a business owner or a corporate employee. Either you've risked furloughs that go on and never end, or just the struggle of being able to make your payroll and all the support that's come and not come from the government and all the uncertainty that's been mixed in there. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say the end of 2019, obviously things looked very differently. And in franchising in general, the most of the interest was in people with steady corporate jobs who were looking for a way of diversifying their income and pick up an investment that would be somewhat semi-absentee, a business that they could grow on the side, maybe transition over there full-time later on. And then come March, April, May, when a lot of those same people realized that these furloughs might go on indefinitely, or they knew that their job wasn't going to be there when they came back, the possibility of needing to hire themselves became very real. So rather than being like hair salons and fast food restaurants, it became more of a focus on essential services, which were legally able to stay open when a lot of other businesses were not. So it's been a very big year of transitions, and we've seen within a lot of industries the difference between being out in a business by yourself. Mm-hmm. Like fitness industry is a great example, where you've seen a lot of these small gyms that just could not handle being forced to be closed for so many months.
We had a friend up in Gainesville that mm-hmm. just opened a gym. And within a month of it being opened, and they got the thing all, their building built out. And fact is, it wasn't completely finished in its build out, but it was operational. And then the lockdown happened. Mm-hmm. They're told they've got to shutter the doors. And I think they were off for a couple of months. And yeah, it's difficult to float all the expenses when you're just starting off in a business and then you're told you can't have business.
Absolutely. And well, and that's one thing we saw as a major strength of franchising is that when you are, example, if you're a new gym owner and you're in a good franchise, you may have a network of hundreds of other owners all working together to see how can we transition this business model into something that's not only going to survive, but also to thrive through 2020, and as long as these shutdowns are threatened or being implemented. So we've actually seen some franchises that in that space that have grown. People have realized how important their personal overall health is, and so they're taking it a lot more seriously. So a lot of healthcare related franchises that you wouldn't have even realized are a thing, but they have seen a dramatic uptick in interest in the consumer base, and with in a lot of ways, sadly, some competition being swept away, but the market will still be there. So it means that there's opportunity for growth for the business owners that are still around to have record years in 2021 and beyond.
I would think that there's a lot of people that would wonder about healthcare franchises. Like, for example, you see now so many of these pop-up clinics and pop-up almost looks like small hospital type things. And I'm sure that to some degree they are related maybe to bigger hospitals or whatever, but a lot of them seem to be more small, like you would say, franchises that are becoming much more plentiful, and they're closer. They serve the community right there. And I know I've heard that there are advantages, let's say, going there. And then if it's a real big problem, they'll send them on down the road to the major hospitals. But there are opportunities for people to invest even in something like healthcare. And that doesn't seem like that would have been around like that 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, certainly. And I actually come from a family medical background. My mother's a physician and had her own practice, and I worked in there for a couple of years as well. So I've seen a lot of sides of the healthcare industry developing over the years. And I got to see what it was like to file all the insurance, get that reimbursed. And then as other businesses have popped up and been successful working just kind of around and outside that system. So we see a lot of urgent care clinics, some maybe children's focused and pain management and weight loss clinics that that have found the opportunities of building a business that is more consumer related. So looking forward to January 1st, we're supposed to finally have price transparency signed into law last year. So that'll be a nice development.
I think there's going to be a lot of new developments in 2021.
Yeah. But some industries that have popped up, like one that we kind of had developed last year, but we see tremendous potential moving forward. If you ever heard of intravenous nutrient therapy?
I don't think I have.
So I believe that the concept generally started to treat people in, let's say, Las Vegas who had gone a little hard too late to help them recover the next day. Some mobile IV therapies. And while there were a few people up in Rhode Island who saw opportunity that, well, if this could be a business to help people recover from that, well, why not have it be something that they could receive therapy and recovery from other things? Such as aggressive cancer treatment, and your body is just horribly run down, and be able to provide the types of nutrients that you're needing in a way that will be absorbed that much faster than through dietary supplements or other means.
Wow.
So that's another thing where we're seeing interest uptick. as again, people are putting a priority on their health, because the best way to avoid getting sick is to start off as healthy as you can. So that they're seeing a lot of interest develop in having vitamin boosts and minerals, and so for recovering from travel and other aspects. And that's been an interesting one. We've seen a rise of some more pain clinic type of businesses that are opioid free. As that has been a major issue the last several years, and the more people can, you know, not necessarily go with like a full-on homeopathic route, but some middle road, reasonable combination of all available therapies and what it is that people can use to treat chronic pain. If there is an underlying issue or an ongoing issue of just a person's diet or lifestyle that can be treated, or if there is something that needs to be treated surgically, it'll find out what the true root cause of the problem is, rather than somebody being on medications to just mask pain for the rest of their lives.
You know, this really is like jumping into the deep end of the pool real quickly on this, but I would not have ever necessarily connected the dots that when you go into a place like a truck stop, for example, and you're on the road, you're driving down I-75 and you need gas and you want a snack. You want to go in and get a bottle of Coke or whatever, and you go in and they have on the racks all over the place, like on the counters, these supplements. They're basically supplements that some of them are to help you stay awake. Some of them are to give you energy. Some of them may just be vitamin C, vitamin D. And and it hits me as I'm having this talk with you today that every one of those packages represents a franchise.
Absolutely.
Every one of those packages has behind it a company that is putting that out there for people's health. And someone owns all of that. And someone has invested a good deal of their own income into this business. And that's an example of a franchise.
Yeah, and so many of those brands started as just some simple little thing. Maybe they just offered within one small region. And then it took off, and somebody put a great business model to it, and it then was able to grow nationwide. You know, you see things like the little 5-hour energy bottles. I mean, where did that come from? That's become one of the biggest selling products across the country. And
you know, I've never done one of those. I drink enough coffee, I think, to begin with. So my caffeine is enjoyed in the morning, and I really love it. I mean, it's really I had a person one time say, caffeine is such a wonderful drug.
Well, you know, it is the number one consumed and probably most abused drug in our culture. But, you know, where would we be without it?
I so enjoy, and I'm so grateful to God for giving us that wonderful cocoa bean and the caffeine that comes from coffee. Thank goodness. I love it. And I know a lot of people do too. If you've just tuned in and you're wondering what in the world am I hearing here today? This is my guest on Afternoons with Mike, Kyle Heck, who is a franchise consultant. And that may be a term that you've just never used together, consultant and franchise, but he helps people. He helps connect them with their dreams and their goals and their investments. I think so many times it's a sad thing to have heard the statistics for small businesses that fail. It's in a shockingly, I mean, it's got to be shocking to them because that's their livelihood, oftentimes their life savings. But the amount of percentage of businesses that start off that just don't make it after 1 year, it's a shocking number.
Yes, it is. The vast majority of new small businesses will not see their fifth year. And that's been consistent for a long time. It could be it's 70 to 90% during any given period. So what we remember is every franchise started as someone's small business, and they were among that 15% that survived. So when I'm working with somebody who's interested in becoming a business owner, and they're looking at franchising because they don't want to have to figure everything out on their own, when they're placed with the right franchise, you're essentially buying those first 5 years of experience. I really like the way that I think it was Rumsfeld put it. There are the known knowns, there are the known unknowns, and the unknown unknowns. And it's the unknown unknowns that will sink a small business in those early stages, because you just don't know what problems there are to expect.
one friend of mine used to call them gotchas.
Yeah.
They are the gotcha.
Absolutely. So if you're with a franchise that has built this business multiple times in multiple markets, and you get to know the people that are franchisees within the system, then you can get a very good idea mm-hmm. as what your performance is going to be. Obviously, there's a distribution of performances with every franchise, even the best franchises. Some people do very, very well. Some people struggle to break even. But if that has more to do with the match of an owner to the concept. Now, we may see two companies that on the outside look identical, say two staffing companies, but the role of the owner, that's something you don't see from the outside, but that day-to-day role is what's key to success. So if somebody who has a great sales and management background is put into a business where really the key is to have great operations and team building, then it could be a mismatch, and they just maybe have put in with the wrong franchise. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our role, is to sort out among all these franchises whose candidate is their best candidate.
Wow. My guest is Kyle Heck. Now, Kyle is a franchise consultant. Now, when you go about helping people and finding out what would be the best thing for them, you are doing this through a filter of your own, the fact that you have put your faith in your life in Christ. And so you're coming at this not from, let's say, the everyday business standpoint, because we all know that when we are Christians, that flavors everything that we do. It guides us. The Bible tells us what direction we're going to go. The Bible says that delight yourself in the Lord, and He will direct your path. So even in our relationship with Jesus, we understand that as Lord, He is helping guide us. So that has to have mm-hmm. an impact as you guide other people. Tell us your story, first of all. How did you come to know the Lord?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was very blessed to be raised in a strong Christian home. I was raised on C.S. Lewis and the Methodist Church. So my father read us the whole Chronicles of Narnia series, I've now done with my kids. And we had so many discussions just about the theology that's behind that, and getting to read more of C.S. Lewis's works later in life. And mm-hmm. I was always a bit of the political nerd when I was growing up, and a history buff. And I this is an appropriate setting because I'd usually listen to talk radio over the music channels because I just liked absorbing all of that information.
So far, you and I are a lot alike. Yeah,
probably, yes. So yeah, our family road trips, they could be rather interesting to people that didn't know us too well, because we don't have the music on. We're listening to people share ideas.
Now, that would be a difference, because in addition to loving all of the things that you just said, I'm also a big music lover too. So probably would have been listening to music on a road trip.
Well, the music that we like typically isn't on the radio. I'm a band geek, and so I was played in the symphonic bands and in jazz as a trombone player through a number of years in college. So I started my college career at Lee University, Church of God School near Chattanooga. Got to tour the country with that band. Got to go to New York. It was 6 months after 9/11, and as part of it was essentially a music ministry. And playing at churches and ministering to those people and doing that for that period. And so I was with them for 5 semesters. Went on to Purdue University, went back up to Indiana, decided that I needed to pursue a more of a money-making career than trombone would ever get for me. And God was just directing my steps every way along that path. As I graduated, as I had mentioned, I was in college on 9/11, and I had quite a number of friends who enlisted in the armed forces mm-hmm. after that, and were still in service when I came to the end of my college career, and was able to take the opportunity to work in the defense industry for Lockheed Martin. That's what brought me down here to Orlando. And that gave a real mission and purpose to what I was doing. That was really critical for me. You know, you could go and manufacture air conditioners, as I had for an internship, and that's, you know, a wonderful career. But for that season, it was absolutely worth being able to work on the tools that my friends were relying on, and making sure that that they all were able to come home back to their families.
Yes.
So then I was with Lockheed for about 9 years, and then I was looking for other opportunities already, but then some layoffs encouraged me to accelerate those plans. And that was probably the first time that I can remember where I had no clue what was coming next. And was really just relying on faith and the people that knew and loved me, and seeing what is this direction? Because it probably would have been easy to go into some similar type of manufacturing jobs in another company. But it wouldn't have had that same mission and purpose, because mm-hmm. I still have the heart for the same people. Fortunately, they, as far as I knew, had all come home. And the opportunity came to, first of all, explore business ownership in a franchise. And I worked with a franchise consultant and got to know how that whole process worked, and realized that in the end, rather than being a franchisee of a company, I would probably be much better suited helping other people discover franchise opportunities. Which is what I do now. And the very first client that I took on was actually somebody that I had met on the very first day of kindergarten.
Oh, my goodness. Muncie, Indiana, way back.
And he had just come off of 10 years serving in the Army and Special Forces. And he was looking for what's that next step. And so that was like, well, that was kind of that perfect sign of, well, yeah, that path was laid out for me, where I'm still going to be able to serve those same people who need help transitioning. Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoy working with veterans in particular, which franchises, honestly, they absolutely love taking on veterans, because they know they'll be able to follow their system, because they're used to taking orders and executing a plan. And so that's where I've been for the last 4.5, getting close to 5 years now, is working in the franchise world.
And he's doing it with a heart to help people. He's doing it with a heart that believes in the Lord. And it's not every day that you see all of these things come together, business and a knowledge of business. In fact, beyond that, a knowledge of the franchises and the processes. I think there's so much to learn about that. If you know somebody that's maybe contemplating going into business, going into a small business, give them a ring right now. We're going to take a break. My guest is Kyle Heck, and your friends might learn something here on the program today that will really serve them, because we're going to be talking in the next segment about how Kyle helps people who are just starting off, and maybe some of the very first steps he would guide them might be helpful for you or your friends. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to The Shepherd. My guest today on the program is Kyle Heck. Tell us a little bit about your business. Yeah, I know you're a consultant, but the particulars about your business, the name, and how people can find you.
Yes, absolutely. So my company is called The Franchise Consulting Company, or FCC for short. It's a different FCC.
Than I deal with in radio.
But yeah, we work with franchises on really with people on both sides. So primarily I work with aspiring or current entrepreneurs who are looking for a potential business opportunity, whether they really know that that's the direction they want, or if they're just exploring. We provide, it's a free consultative service where I get to know a person and what skills and interests and business goals they have. And I match them to companies where all that is in alignment. And I'm a coach as we go through the discovery process with several brands, and we get to compare what are the strengths of each one. And people always learn a lot more about themselves as they go through that process.
I bet they do.
Because we ask a lot of questions that people would not have known to ask themselves. But having been in the franchising world for so many years, and working with people with even, you know, far more experience than I have, it's really great to be able to share that kind of perspective with people and help them to see what's really possible. We go on to connect them with legal and financing resources to help them understand understand what the investment is going to entail and how we can put it together, what puts them in the best shape. And you know, ideally, the right deal will come together, and then they're in business within 6 weeks to 12 months, typical time frame. On the other side, we help small business owners that are exploring expanding as a franchise themselves. And that's there are a lot of ways that we can test to see if it's a concept that can be franchised. And if they're ready for that now, we help them to get registered, and we can help them to promote themselves, find those first franchisees, and really we're taking them from being that single small business into being a nationwide brand as one of the franchises that we can recommend to our clients. And if they're not quite there yet, we can come up with a plan of how do we get from here to there to where you would be able to franchise this business in the future.
What does it take to do that for them as an investment? I mean, let's say they've got it. They've been one of those people that made it, one of the few people. The percentage you said that don't make it was, what percentage was that?
Of small businesses, the original, it's 80% is a good ballpark to say that that aren't going to be open.
They aren't
going
to make
years.
It. So maybe 20%, one out of five businesses are going to survive past 5 years. And then that person, they're doing well, and sometimes people say you should just be happy doing well, but many times people say this is a great idea, and a lot of them are great ideas. I could take this and franchise it and have different businesses going. What are your first thoughts to the person? What is the first thing you tell them?
Right. So if you're considering franchising a business, you want to make sure that you do it right. There are over 5,000 franchises available in the United States. Most of them are not worth your time. They might be worth somebody else's time, but there has to be that right fit. So you want to make sure that it's a concept where you have really nailed down what does it take to implement this system and be successful. A lot of people are very successful in their business and they don't realize that it's because it's dependent on them and their skills and what they put into the business. And you're not going to find an exact copy of you for another, as another owner. So it's part of the process is to learn how are you operating the business and make sure that that's all well defined and documented and see if that is, if that is a business in a box that somebody else could then implement with your support and be successful in a new market.
You know, I read a book one time by Bob Taylor, who is the guy who made the Taylor guitars. And being right. a guitar player, I am a Taylor player and I love the guitars. And he has of this wonderful book that he wrote, and it's kind of like his life story. But in the end of it, he talks about this whole concept of business and how often the owner of the business can wear out, get tired, and it's been a beautiful business, and he sells the business, and oftentimes the person that buys a one-generation-old business will not succeed. And he talks about the third owner is usually the one that can take that business that originally was great, then it went through a down season with the second owner. The third owner, if he's really energetic and visionary, can grow that company. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if you're familiar with this. I learned this from the Freakonomics podcast, being a podcast nerd, but this is an odd anecdote, but I guess the number two nation in the world where people are adopted is Japan. And in their system, apparently, when a company is going to be handed off to the next generation, the next leader, that next president is adopted into the family. And so it's very interesting to see there's some companies that are centuries old and have stayed more or less, you know, within the same family under that structure.
But it's not bloodline family.
It's not bloodline family. That's the thing where we see, you know, if it's the scion that takes over, if it's the son who was raised to take over the business, they don't have the skill mix. They weren't brought up the same way. If you are a child of a very successful person who started with nothing, then you're you're not developing skills the same way. You can develop very different skills, but you know, you could be Jaden Smith to a Will Smith. And okay, you might be able to do some acting and be in some movies, but you're not going to be Will Smith because mm-hmm. he's mm-hmm. come with his experiences. But what you learn through franchising, especially as you get that business started in a new market and see what works, what doesn't work, what maybe needs to be tweaked to the system as you add on more owners and bring more experience into the system, it's almost like you're getting to that third generation while you're still in business. Mm-hmm. And anybody that's made it past that 5-year point and they've got a strong, steady business, they should be looking forward. Now, I can guarantee you that if you have a business that you've been running yourself for decades and you're ready to sell and retire, it's not worth to somebody else what it's worth to you. Mm-hmm. And that's just the truth. But when you bring a franchise into it, so you're not selling, say, one auto service center. If you're selling a franchise that is collecting monthly royalties from service centers all over the country, that's a solid, predictable cash flow. Well, that's obviously not dependent on you as the founder of the company. It's out there and it has real demonstrable value. So that's an advantage of franchising a small business that's shown that success, rather than just growing it within an individual market for that resale value. Mm-hmm.
Do you find it advantageous for a franchisee, a person that owns a small company that's wanting to now franchise out, is it better for that company to be private, or does it matter if it's a public stock?
I don't know that it matters necessarily. Obviously, if something is privately held, you have more control. Oftentimes, there are different expansion strategies. If you want to grow your company, you could do it by developing a single market, or you could do it by taking out a bank loan, which they expect you to start paying back right away. But then you can also take an investor. So you can make it a publicly traded company or even privately traded stock. But then you're giving up some control over what you want the company to be.
Now, this may be an obvious question, but from your standpoint, we know that anytime you're in business, you could lose money. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're in business, you could lose maybe even your home, because some people have tied their business. I think it's wrong to do that, but they've tied to their own, they've mortgaged their house often for it. Mm-hmm. What would be the wrong person to try to ever do this?
The wrong person.
The wrong person that maybe should stay doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's part of just our consultative process is, why would you want to be in that position of running a business? Because obviously it's going to be a leadership position. So if you're more interested in supporting somebody who's a great leader, then you probably want to have that corporate job or work for somebody else's company and help them to be successful. Most of the people that that really thrive within franchising have worked in that kind of setting for a long time, and they realize that they've made a lot more money for somebody else than they actually took in themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's somebody that wants to be keeping the fruits of their labor in that respect. And now some people, that they want more the freedom of being able to be creative without it putting their house at risk, without it necessarily having no safety net. Mm-hmm. So you see there's plenty of startup companies that, that their goal is to be acquired and, you know, maybe, you know, 2 or 3% actually happen that, like in the tech world, but they have a lot of people that work for them for a time that are coding and creating. And well, when it goes under, they go on to the next one. But they're not the ones that are putting anything up, of their own. Now there is something important that we do with our clients is we make sure that we are mitigating any risk. We are looking at every opportunity with the assumption that they're going to be successful. But we want to make sure that it's still a managed risk decision, because that's the right way to do it. We would much rather work with somebody to help them get a small business loan, especially in 2020, as the SBA has been trying to finance a lot of new business startups, and even work with people's retirement accounts, because oftentimes they can roll over some money that's in a retirement account into the start of a business, but it stays pre-tax money. It's not a withdrawal. It's not a loan against the 401k, which could suddenly become due. But it's a way to access funds, particular for, I would say, the stereotypical first-time franchisee is an early 50s upper-level manager up to a director or vice president, and they thought they were going to stay with that company for the rest of their career, and they got surprised. And they're going to find that that position isn't something they're going to find again with another company. Mm-hmm. Either just the economy has moved on, or it's been outsourced overseas, or they're going to hire two younger people to do the job for them. But ideally they have quite a bit already saved up for retirement, but at 52, you can't really touch that. So mm-hmm. what this is called a rollover is a business startup. And we can work with clients. Say you have $1 million in the 401k and you have $100,000 to start up this franchise business. You can set up it's essentially a new 401k where you roll that money into it, and it can mark your business as one of its investments. Mm-hmm. And so it's not putting all your eggs in one basket, but it's allowing you to start a business, which then can pay you as a salary for running the business and give you a predictable income stream that way as you get the business up and running.
What is the minimal investment in this day and age to start a franchise?
So the lowest of anything that I work with is around $50,000 of an all-in cost. Now that is for all of the working capital, initial marketing, franchise fees, mm-hmm. training, technology, anything that goes in there. And there are some businesses that can be started really on your kitchen table that are a franchise. Something that's in financial services, bookkeeping, cost reduction for companies. Those are rather straightforward and quick to get started, but it gives you the support of the franchisor on how you actually make that a functional business.
Do people ever borrow that money? Is that an advisable thing from your position?
Obviously, it depends on everyone's situation. Some people have family who can support them, who will give them a business loan. And oftentimes it's honestly a better investment than graduate school for about the same level of investment in a lot of cases. Hmm. So some parents would rather help their children start a business in that way. And if something's the right fit, then they should do that. I was a follower of Dave Ramsey and got myself completely out of debt right before I faced that layoff. So if things can be done without debt, all the better. Mm-hmm. However, there are very good programs available when they're appropriate through Small Business Administration and other programs to help get businesses financed and up and running, because especially in a year like 2020, we need that business investment. So they're being very aggressive with terms and interest rates to make sure that people are given good loans for good businesses that they're confident they'll be able to pay back.
Yeah, after the break in a moment, I'm going to ask you about that very thing about 2020 and looking into 2021 and all the changes that we've seen this year. But one of the things that since I knew I was going to do this, I have been excited about asking this question. And that would be from working with people that are both believers and then non-believers, what edges do you give a person who has faith, legitimate faith in Christ and the way they run their business? What do you see different in them as to how they operate their business over someone that does not believe?
Oh, absolutely. So one amazing thing that I've noticed within the franchise community is the communities that develop within franchise companies. And I think that social media in particular has allowed those people to connect with each other, not on a business level as much as a personal level. And so even though maybe I'm a franchisee of a company in Orlando, but I have a lot in common with the franchisee of this of the same company in Dallas. And mm-hmm. we get to know each other and we see that we're both believers and can encourage each other and pray for one another that way. There are a lot of franchises who, they all started as small businesses whose founders are very strong believers and their faith is woven into not just the history of the company, but the practice of their businesses. And that can be just an incredible advantage to somebody, if especially if they're uncertain, you know, who are they going to be working with within this franchise that's going to tell them, you know, how they are going to operate their business. Well, if there's that faith connection, it surely makes a much better difference, and it makes a great connection, and it helps them grow not just professionally but spiritually, and it's a great benefit to their families. Oftentimes, I'm trying to think of, there's one in particular that I'm drawing a blank, but gives money to World Vision every year directly to missions organizations. And so those opportunities are out there, and you should not think that just because business is in business, that it's disconnected from the heart.
I think that's well said. And, you know, when we think of a company like that, the company that comes to my mind, and I have to say, if it's not the most favorite, but one of my favorites would be Chick-fil-A. And I don't mind giving them a shout out, because I think they have done so much to stand up for things that are of God, and really took a lot of heat. And, you know, maybe some of the decisions that they've made in recent years might have been seen a little differently. But by and large, they've stood up, they've paid a price to stand up for their faith in Christ. And if they're an example, it seems. Here you have a guy like Mike Huckabee, who on his radio program, basically, or TV program, I think it was back then, made it official Chick-fil-A Day and makes a call out, a clarion call to all believers who are watching across the country to go and buy their chicken sandwiches from Chick-fil-A that day. And you know what? They did.
I remember that very well. I went there, and honestly, I was disappointed because I didn't see a major line, and I found out after I got home with my food that I was a week early.
Oh, but I'm telling you what, almost any time I've ever gone on a traveling journey up north and we want to have lunch at Chick-fil-A, I mean, at lunchtime, it doesn't matter what city I'm in, it seems to be that those cars are wrapped around the building.
Absolutely. And they become the most, what is it, the most popular fast food franchise as part of as people's satisfaction. They're a different animal. They've done something very different in franchising, and that it's more of a partnership with their owners. So you're oftentimes, I believe, a minority owner in your company. You're essentially bought the job to be the manager. But that could be the best opportunity for some people. Now, obviously, they get far more interest in becoming franchisees from people than they have available opportunities. I would say a little over half of the people that I work with have already been rejected by Chick-fil-A. So they're looking at what else is out there. That is a great example of a company that is able to maintain control of their culture by not being publicly traded, for example. And I'm sure I was there at the Better Man event when the Hobby Lobby CEOs shared their story. That was one of the best discussions I ever had with my son. Was just here's a company that has grown to be this multi-billion-dollar company, but willing to take a stand for what's right and put it in God's hands of how is this going to turn out, and being the only people in the country with the ability to make that case. not just financially, but to even have the standing before the courts. Because if I'm, you know, if I'm a small business with 10 employees, I'm not going to be able to go up against the federal government and Obamacare requirements for faith-based standards. But what they've done for business owners, especially business owners of faith across the country, was just fantastic. And so that's a great example of when a company is kept close to the family and can keep those values of what can be accomplished outside the business.
I think the big question everyone that is wanting to be a franchise owner might be asking is, what is the next Chick-fil-A? Or what could be the very next Hobby Lobby? Because you're right, those are two great examples in our recent history that when we look at and we've heard the news and we know a little bit about business and know a little bit about franchising, and you realize that these, they're in the news. I mean, when airports are rejecting Chick-fil-A and saying no because, you know, your worldview is not in line with our worldview, and that's just crazy. I mean, to think that they've reached that kind of success to where they're being actually persecuted because of their faith, and businesses are persecuted along with individuals. My guest today is Kyle Heck, and this is really a lot of fun to hear this. I bet you're having more fun than you would have ever imagined learning about franchises. You know what? We all use them. We all buy from them every day of our lives. And so we are a lot more closely related to franchises than we ever thought. And we're going to learn more from him in a moment, especially as we talk out this issue about how COVID, how the year 2020 has made impact, and what is 2021 going to be like. That's all ahead right here on The Shepherd. This is Afternoons with Mike. Back for one more brief segment here with my guest today, Kyle Heck. Kyle, this has gone so quickly. I would never have dreamed there were so many implications that in the business world, that what you get to do, you get to see people who are wanting investors, and then you get to work with people who are investors and are saying, wow, I'd like to take what I've been given and go into the maybe expanding my small business into something that's in other cities. And that's got to be a big, scary jump in a day like 2020. What impacts have you seen that this coronavirus and this crazy year with lockdowns and businesses that are receiving these PPP loans and all of these things, what are you seeing happen right now?
Well, I first want to just point out how grateful we should be that this happened in the year 2020 and not, say, 2015. 5 years ago, how would you have ordered your Taco Bell before there was Uber Eats? How well would we have been able to do online school for our kids if it had happened any years before this year? So while this has been, you know, what people want to call it the worst year ever, but in the mix of that, there's some very divine timing, I believe, that allowed this to be something that we could handle the way that we have.
We have more technology. Boy, the people that invented Zoom came along at a good time, didn't they?
I've got a funny story for that, but another time. But from the franchising perspective, I think it's very easy to picture. If you are a small business trying to figure out everything for yourself, getting what information you can from the SBA and from the government and from the state of what can you do, what can't you do, what kind of assistance are you going to get or not, versus being part of a network of business owners that are all working on the same business model of how are you going to transition to something that will get through COVID. If you're a fitness company, taking your services online or in person. If you are a restaurant, do you negotiate one-on-one with the delivery services, or do you have a large network of that you can leverage to get, you know, much more favorable rates on the deliveries and be able to survive that way? And all the other unknowns are there. we're going to hear so many stories for so many years of how businesses were able to get through this period and the struggles that they never anticipated. But having that support from friends, that I would say even more so than just fellow franchisees, of everybody being able to pull together and share what's working, what's not working, how can you improve on this idea mm-hmm. or that idea, to still be able to get your business out, be able to get attention and even come out stronger on the other side. And that is happening. And so that's really the support that you get with a good franchise, is you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself.
You know, when you think about how many businesses have shuttered in 2020 and the kind of resilience that I think business owners have had to go through, I think you're right when you said that technologies have really made a difference. And there were, you know, there's some people, ironically, that really prospered in all of this lockdown. Their businesses grew like crazy. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that's taking lemons and making lemonade out of it.
And I think a lot of them are shy to admit that because they see how many people are struggling. They don't want to necessarily talk about how, mm-hmm. 2020 was actually a record year for me. Mm. And I think we need to share what the blessings have been in this year with everyone, because everybody needs hope going into 2021 and beyond.
What do you think is the biggest, most important thing that you look forward to, or you think about the most exciting thing in 30 seconds as you look forward to this next year?
I think, you know, despite everything, we still live in the United States of America, and we have the freedom and we have resources to be able to try new things, and we have freedom to fail and stand back up and try again until we find something that works. And that's a gift, I believe, that is given to every one of us. And no matter what comes the next year, we can always pick ourselves back up and go even further.
That's a great answer. And I tell you what, I appreciate what you're doing. Tell us how people who are listening today, who have a heart to learn more about this, how can they avail of your services?
Absolutely. Well, there's a few ways. You can look me up on LinkedIn. My name is Kyle Heck, a franchise consultant. But to contact me more directly, you can text the word franchise to 55678, and that will put us in touch. And I've got a book that I can offer you, the Franchise MBA, that with a lot of information that will help you learn about the world of franchising.
That is amazing that you have that. Talk about technology. Just text this and it will connect us directly. Kyle Heck, thank you so very much for being here, for offering your wisdom, your experience. And boy, all of this from a guy that, by your self-declared state of being a trombone nerd or trombone, whatever you said about that.
I'm all kinds of nerds.
Well, I love it because you are a person that loves the Lord. You love music and you love serving people. And that's really a great combination right there, my friend. And friends, thank you for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. I'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.